Hello, Florian speaking.
Hi, this is Norbert.
Hey, Norbert, Florian speaking.
Hey.
Hello, Florian speaking. Hey, Ike.
Hey there.
Hello, this is Olivier speaking.
Hello,
Hi,
Olivier.
Olivier.
Hey guys, this is Thorsten.
Hey,
Hi,
Thorsten.
Thorsten.
Hi, Thorsten.
Hey there. Today, just on phone, so gonna be a bit quiet and sitting in trains, etc.
Hi, it's Michael.
Hey, Michael.
So I'm just inviting people on Google Glass. Let's see, take people. Who do we have?
So we have Eike, Torsten, Norbert, Olivier, myself, and you.
Are we going outside then, don't we? Martin Marina, Candy, Austin Bjorn, Fowler. Hey, Fowler, how you doing?
Hi, hi.
How's the agenda looking?
Hello, Candy here.
Hey, Candy. Good to have you all.
Hey, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
Candy.
Hello, everybody.
Hey,
Hi, Simon.
Simon.
Hey, Simon.
Welcome to you. Right, so we got lots of people. We're quarries. Should we wait a few more minutes, or should we get on with it?
Well, you're
Let's
running
get on
the
with it
show.
then. So, Florian, list the priorities and tasks. Here we go.
Okay, let's start. Let me quickly fill in the minutes. Okay. So for the public agenda, here first of all, a link that's in the pad with a list of tasks and my proposal that I prepared it upfront the meeting in Brno. The proposal is, I think we should maybe not directly in the call, but go through that list, identify a couple of items because we have lots of stuff going on in parallel and I think different views on what's important amongst the board. So I'd like to at least identify a couple of key items that we would like to work on in the near future to have a common understanding. The list is as said status before the conference. Removed all items that make no sense to rank, like voting whether Klopp should do releases or not, I guess is pointless because that's his role and we have to do that. But basically everything else is on that list, and I think we should identify a couple of items, at least larger items we would like to work on, so we know what's up for the future.
So normal ranking then 0 to 99 or whatever, or 0 to 100, something like that.
Yeah, so for the budget, I think we had 0 to 100, with 100 being the highest rank. We could try that and then see where we end up with.
Fair enough. Sounds good. What's the deadline for this? Or should we sit here and have a 2-minute break in the call and rank a dozen things each and see what goes?
I guess the list is too long to rank it just during the call. Well, the next board call is in 2 weeks. Would that do? 2 weeks? Yeah. To have a look? So by then we can come up with questions that are necessary.
Some of those, I mean, I can vote on stuff, and we can vote on stuff, but some of those have to be done. Some of them are optional. Some of them, I mean, I suppose that there is some of them, even if we don't vote it, we still have to do it, right?
So I think I removed everything from the list that really needs doing, like doing monthly accounting is not to be voted on. We have to do that. So I tried to remove everything that we really have to do, or team paid staff really has to do. But there are also a couple of things I think that can eventually vanish that have been collected over the past months and years. And a couple of them I think are, legacy stuff that can also be removed.
Something like QA calls and meetings.
Sole stock warnings and stuff like that. That's about the management of the resource of individual people in the thing. I mean, do we really have to do that? I mean, why? Isn't that the job of the head manager to make those kind of
calls? Well, I think it's useful to put the discretionary investment here on a reasonable footing so that we know what the priorities are and so Brian can do the best things, right? And if it's a big chunk of time, then we should probably be looking at the time as most of where the money goes.
Can the one who is typing please mute the phone?
Well, that would be Michael, most likely.
strangely. But it, yeah. Much as I ought to shut up. But someone else. I have a very squishy keyboard these days, so yeah. Okay, Luke, anything else on that?
Not from my side for the moment. Happy to answer questions when they occur, of course. But no questions from my side for the moment.
Okay. So why don't we just suggest ones that we think are obvious to remove them, if we are particularly annoyed with them?
Yeah, if there's something that you think can be removed, please do so. Chances are I missed something, of course.
And there is also no time, no workload associated with it. So some of those I would change my mind depending on how much work it's supposed to be.
Yep. Maybe Florian can put a rough guesstimate of time on it against each item. Florian?
I'll have a look, but not sure what I can add or if I can fill it in for everything this week, actually. To see. Okay. For some of them, it's quite hard to guess, or unknown, so to speak. I'll have a look and see what I can add.
Yeah, so I mean, editable help wiki, if it's going to be 16 months, then, you know, it's different to editor.
I think actually for the help wiki, which ties in a bit with item number 2, I think that could be one that could be changed or maybe even removed, depending, but that's a separate discussion item on that sample.
Yeah, well, maybe change or remove it, who knows. I'm sure someone knows about that. Cool.
And perhaps it's also instructive to do the voting without knowing the effort, because then we can afterwards do this nice multiplication or this quotient. But I'd love to get this finally done, because it's been almost 2 years, or 1.5 years, request from various people, so.
I think it's even 2.5 years, actually.
So, a new approach to the documentation project. Simon, Olivier, Florian, how are we doing with this? Sounds exciting. who's presenting it?
Simon, want to take the lead on this?
Yeah, I just had to persuade my screen to display the unmute button, that was all.
Ah, it's also locked your video, so I don't know whether that was
I think it could be related, you never know.
Press buttons randomly until windscreen wipers work and something else.
Let's see about, is that better now?
I can't tell. Better, I still can't see you, so I don't know whether that's better or not.
Most people consider that better. okay, so I had a conversation with Olivier and with Florian during the week. So the reason I ended up with this particular monkey on my shoulder was during our face-to-face meeting, I expressed a desire a couple of times to change the way that we regard documentation. And so I discussed that vision with Olivier. To remind you of that vision, if you were ignoring me in Brno, which would have been a good thing to do probably, first of all, I don't really believe that documentation is a very worthwhile thing for most technology projects in this particular era. I note that nothing that I have purchased, be it hardware or software, in the last couple of years has come with anything more than a manual the size of a business card. Even the GPL licensing comes in something the size of a business card these days. So I think we need to revisit why we think documentation is a good thing. I believe that it's likely that there are two things that are of greater value to most of our users. The first thing that would be of greater value would be comprehensive, up-to-date, contextually sensitive help. And the second thing that would be valuable to most users would be a Q&A, an FAQ that they can refer to with most of the questions that they have about the software. The use case where a printed manual seems to be useful, and this is very hard to talk because I'm hearing myself coming back from somebody's system.
Well, that's on the telephone, or me, maybe, but I hear them shouting.
I don't know. I'll try and ignore me coming back 1 second later.
Take your headphones off, Simon. How about that?
I could do that. Then I can't hear if anyone interrupts me.
Yeah, well, let's not interrupt you then. See.
Okay.
But if we can see you, we can see that we, anyway.
Yeah, well, the video won't reactivate while with the microphone on, because I keep on pressing the button.
You should read the manual, Simon. I'm sure that's a feature. And
yeah, there is. If you could send me a copy of the manual, I'll read it.
Excellent.
So there is one use case where manuals are useful, and that is where a large corporate entity, such as a regional government or a company, is contemplating a migration. And I do believe that it is appropriate for us to keep something that is roughly up to date in the form of a manual for the LibreOffice still release that is current, if we possibly can. However, I note that it is a substantial piece of work to update the manuals. It is something that there are not very many volunteers want to do, because there are very few employers who want to hire someone to make those manuals happen. I can't actually speak for CIB and Collabora, but I sincerely doubt that you have got anyone on staff who is willing to spend the time updating the manuals. Yeah. And if you, as the largest companies profiting from LibreOffice, can't find the resources to do it, I don't really understand why anybody else would be expected to pay someone to do it. So that means you're looking for a volunteer who wants to thanklessly, over many months, write a large manual that will only ever be used in corporate migrations. I think that means that it's not going to happen. So if we want that manual to exist, I believe we have to pay for it. And I believe that what we should do is budget to tender for an update to the manual about once every 18 months and retain a professional writer to perform that update for us, and consider that to be a marketing activity to create that collateral. Then I think we need to look at the help system and ask questions about what that should look like. I have a very strong belief in LibreOffice that we need to make sure that we facilitate our volunteers, or that we facilitate our contributors rather than supersede them. And so if we have got the scope to have any contributors anywhere, we should find a way to mentor, support, and activate them. And in this particular area, updating the help system, I believe there is scope to do that. I actually have a sense that a great introductory task for newcomers to the LibreOffice project would be to shadow developers and to update the documentation to reflect the new work that they are doing. And I think that's probably a viable thing to do if we have a help system which can be maintained by our users. I also believe that there are quite a lot of casual users of LibreOffice who would benefit from things like quick reference cards or wall charts or screen wallpaper that has got hints and tips and keystrokes and how-tos on it. And I think it would be fantastic if our help system was in some way repurposable to let you produce those things. So my second proposal would be that we revisit the help system and that we consider some new form of technology for it that allows it to be dynamically maintained by volunteers in our community. I kind of visualize something like a Prezi presentation that has got all the information that you would need about LibreOffice sitting all over it, and then having the LibreOffice help contextually take you to the part of the Prezi presentation where the stuff about what you're doing at the moment is located. I don't know if that's feasible, but I'd be interested in other people's views about it. And if it is feasible, I'd suggest that we write a second tender to make it so, possibly by outsourcing to another community like the Prezi project or like one of the free software alternatives to Prezi, so that we grow our community to bring new skills in that will keep help dynamic alive and keep the features up to date.
So I was with you right up until this point, Simon. Surely we are the free software alternative to Prezi. I mean, it's a proprietary venture-capital-funded startup, right?
No, we're not, because our software does not provide the zoomable single canvas capability that Prezi has got.
To some extent, that's a gimmick, however, if there's no obvious two-dimensional organization of your data, right?
So I would have no problem with us deciding that we want to create an ODP to contain all this documentation, but that's the point at which suddenly I lose all credibility for the proposal.
So
let me carry on, because I've got three proposals for you, and then you can rip my limbs off at the end of that.
So
proposal one is that we, on a round about an 18-month cycle, retain a professional writer to update our key manuals. I believe that probably that will be the writer and the calc manuals, and that maybe less frequently we update other documentation that we have access to. My second proposal is that we brainstorm a revision of the help system that will make it easier for it to be kept completely up to date with the current status of the software, and additionally produce handy collateral for casual to medium scale users. Third proposal is that we begin to we start gardening the Ask website. Welcome. You've missed so much.
There was silence all of a sudden.
Yes. So the third thing is, I think we have a wealth of information in our Ask site. I think when I try and use ask.libreoffice.org, it frequently doesn't give me the answer that I want. And I think there's a lot of people who would value having things that are rather like manual pages for commonly used features on Ask that will answer their questions. And we have got quite a bit of that information in our manuals, in articles that have been written by the Brazil LibreOffice community and that are in the Ubuntu user community and other places. And I would very much like us to make the next level of help/documentation be curated content that is layered above the ask.libreoffice.org community. And so either a third tender or outreach to the AskBot community to add new features that allow you to have featured content like that. I would like us to back up our out-of-date by design manuals and our cutting-edge but minimalistic help documentation with pretty much up-to-date how-to information on the Ask site. So those are the three proposals I'd suggest with regard to documentation. It's a departure from what documentation is considering at the moment, where we are actively recruiting people for the soulless task of creating big, thick books that no one is ever going to look at. Mm. But I believe that this is the direction we need to take if we do want to have documentation for LibreOffice for the future. Discussion.
Do you have any numbers associated with those?
None whatsoever. Yeah, none whatsoever at the moment, because I would be cautious about beginning to go talk about any of those ideas if the board thinks they're completely crackpot.
Well, how much they cost is going to be a big a big impact on my classification of crackpot of it.
Yeah.
So I thought you meant other numbers, but as in how many people are using Ask versus how many people download Help or something like that, or how many what. I'm interested in what are our download numbers for documentation versus online help pages versus anything else, really. I mean, where are the trends here? What is the? Do you have those numbers, Olivier?
I don't have specific numbers of how much it is downloaded. What I think is that several things. First of all, there is a quite amount of a very steep barrier to enter into the documentation, which is regards to creating a book. Okay, so Jean has done the best work of how to create a book on software. She has all the skills, and she did it for the community. So just to enter, to write a chapter or to update a chapter in a book, you have to read a 200-page document written by Jean, which is the best practice in the area. So one thing I'd like to say is that there is an amount, quite a large amount of legacy content in the books. And I think that I agree with Simon that the books is not the best form for the end user. Nobody's going to print a book, or very few people buy a book. But the content should be somehow made available for the user. I mean, if you take on cloud, if you take whatever quite complex software that you have, free software, you have documentation online that contains user guide and advanced techniques. So somehow we have to reuse this legacy into a more dynamic way to display for the user, and also to make it easier for an update. I mean, a user or a member of the community could easily enter and update the contents, and not having to deal with styles, pagination, PDF, printouts, styles of bullets, and such, which is something that it's very good for the book industry, but not for the software industry. That's my first comment. Also, what we have, I think, is that the software effectively is not so close to the help system, in the sense that first, to get the help, we have to download a second package, okay, or a third package. Second, if people doesn't have a clue about the feature, if they hit F1, they got this very outdated and very hard to read help system that is known to be need for evolution, like Simon put very well. Okay, so we have to go from this old-fashioned help system to something more dynamic. part of the job is being addressed by the members of community on the tender, I think, because we will have much more graphics in the near future with the screenshots done by Bubli. So this technology effectively can go and evolve to a more dynamic, more easy to read, more easy to update help content, okay? But also, all the collateral that we have, either the book or the AskBot or the wiki, and even Bugzilla and the website, is poorly connected to the software in the sense that if the user has an issue to solve, he probably is going to Google, type the issues, and get tons of pages to see if something is answered, okay? So one of the things that the UX people and I did is to connect the service that TDF has on AskBot, on Bugzilla, and on the documentation, connect that to the help menu, tying a bit more the software to the documentation available in the website. So these were the actions that we were taking to bring closer the documentation to the software.
Just to jump in, I think that's all really good work. And that's excellent. So I think we see the problems. In terms of Simon's vision, which to me sounds reasonable, what do you think of that approach? I mean, you have this is something you agree on, you've come up with together, you're happy with, you're proposing, or is there some? Do you disagree with it in any way? Because it seems reasonably non-controversial.
No, I don't disagree with Simon. I don't disagree with Simon. I think it was an issue that it was clear even in the past that we had an issue open, an exposure with the help system, and we found that in the job description that has been put in the end of last year, there was also the documentation and the books. So if now we shift and we steer ahead away from the books, the only thing I'm asking is that we should preserve the existing content and put it into a more dynamic way of updating it, so that newcomers can jump in and, for example, even if it's editing a page on the wiki, it's way more easy to update a wiki page than a file in ODT that is part of a chapter of a book, you know. So yes, we can. There is room for that. We have already experimented several new technologies to get away from the very complex help system that we have. It was designed 10 years ago because at that time, I guess, Frank Peters from Sun Microsystem had no way to solve all the browser issues. So he designed something that was totally internal. But now we have modern browser technology. We can use this technology to get
if we could get away from the technical implementation detail into the very high level, because the board really would just like to have a very high level view, I think, probably, so we can make a sort of a quickish decision here. Is there anything that you'd object to in final proposal then, Olivia? Or you're on board with it broadly? I mean, you want to preserve more of the existing content, but This direction away from big printed books seems non-controversial,
yes.
Okay. So other board members, I mean, other people, do we have views on, I mean, does anyone want to speak against Simon's proposal or concerns, Torsten, others?
So yeah, I would broadly agree, especially the importance or rather non-importance of printed large volumes of documentation. I mean, Michael, the question went, I think, to you just the same as to me. But since it seems to be rather something for, if even that, large corporate deployments, I would agree that probably we should de-emphasize that for the community project.
Yeah. But I'm happy with that. And to be honest, I don't know. I mean, in terms of training and certification, all these things, I think trainers will typically build their own content based on this stuff anyway.
And beyond anyway, that, of course, there seems to be still some markets to write those books and sell them for a bit of money. So that's an extra reason for TDF not to to invest too heavily there, in my view.
And I wouldn't say that there is no demand at all for manuals. It's just that what people tend to want, if you look at what people write magazine articles about, and if you look at what people ask on AskBot, it is typically how-tos in very commonly visited areas that people are looking for. And I think we can do those very well, and we can keep them very up-to-date if we detach them from the need to have a comprehensive manual of every other feature that hardly anyone uses.
Yeah. So, I mean, so much of it is obvious, as in re-explaining a formatting toolbar, bold, italic, whatever. It's a waste of time, but explaining what that weird icon with a star on it does that is not in other suites, and it's actually quite cool. Is perhaps more useful.
But also, you get a lot of people asking questions about bulleting. You know, how do I do a bullet? How do I change the bullet? How do I do a bulleted list? How do I
is that what number is awful?
And you know, you do need something that is a magazine article length of about 1,000 words with good illustrations telling you how the bulleting and indenting works. Yeah. And it is really just a manual page, a set of manual documentation. But and we need to keep that up to date and make sure that it all works. And it's a job for somebody with skills like Mike to make sure that we have got it and it's there and it's crisp and vibrant and it's right there as soon as anyone has a problem with I'm doing bullets, I press help. I want to see that thing that says, here's how to use our Byzantine bulleting system. So that sort of documentation, I think, will always be in demand because, excellent though LibreOffice is, there will always be people who need to have it explained to them.
Completely.
So in that regard, I agree completely that we do need some documentation. And I also completely agree with Olivier that we need to take what we've got, keep it in good condition because there may well be people who want to look after it. Not least the people we subcontract to update it for us once every 18 months. And also, there's lots of content in there that could become those feature pages on AskBot or whatever other technology we decide to use, so that we don't have to write it from scratch.
I guess that it may be useful to have a revision of documentation in the online. In the sense that we have a very important last that we can donate a new life in the sense that using even Olivier, I guess, pointed out that it was designed with all the approaches. So I guess can be useful to have those two tenders and try to achieve a better intuitive system. And even probably the manuals can be revised a bit in order to improve the effectiveness of the content.
Yeah. Thanks, Vasile. So you like that? I mean, I must say I don't like the tender to update the whole documentation every 18 months. If we think it's useless, I would chop it up, put it in help pages, make it prettier, and have done with it. That would be my why pay to drag around something that's only useful for the corporates and
I fall somewhere between those two positions, honestly, Michael. I think that we probably do need to have a comprehensive manual for Writer and Calc, and we probably don't need to have a comprehensive manual for the rest of the suite.
Yes, so combining the ideas here, so I can imagine that we extend the the markup of the current health system so that like it is actually possible to generate something like a book from that that would then like after some edits be kind of usable as a printable thing. So I think that it is important to preserve the content some way, but the focus on the online seems very sensible to me, or sounds very sensible to me.
Yes, we of course within the tender we have to address the translations of the health system if we are going to evolve with it. So it has to be addressed somehow. Nobody wants to retranslate the contents.
Okay. So you don't like changing the health because it then causes translation cascade problems. Is that right, Olivia? Or
no, I mean it is a condition absolutely necessary to somehow preserve the contents translated. If like Candy is saying that we have a new markup, okay, no problem. But just we have to address the LTN.
Yeah. No one's going to go and screw them over because there'll be so much screaming.
No, please don't.
Yeah. But I mean, you can imagine that if we can extract some of these articles, we can have them as like chapter beginnings and generate, you know, more detailed information on sub features and organize the help in such a way that it can be turned into books. It's at least imaginable. Particularly given the content of most of these terrible technical books that people buy that are just Windows screenshots from, you know, inches and inches of text. No, evaluate it. Okay, cool. Well, have we arrived at anywhere we can decide on something? Do we like Simon's idea broadly? Or, I mean, I personally really don't like the investing money to pay professional typewriter users to write English documentation. I don't think that's helpful. And I like Andy's idea of generating it from the help. There's maybe some tweaking. But beyond that, it all seems completely sensible to me. How do you feel about it, Olivia? One of the big concerns, of course, was you feeling like you had a task that was unachievable. Do you think this gives you a task that's more achievable and more of a concrete, some more concrete goal?
To have some kind of meetings to synchronize on the technical side of this. And Olivia, I apologize that I didn't answer you yet, but definitely something like before or after ESC could work for me. So,
okay. The point is that
in some way.
Yes.
Sorry,
the point
is better.
The point, Michael, is that we have like Simon says very appropriately, we have to bring the information on the suite into 2016. I mean, it's stuck into 2006 in the Sun Microsystem times, and it has not evolved. Nobody took care of it, and it's time really to move. If you want a product, if you want a software that is really being considered by the corporate arena. And documentation is definitely something that will ease the job of the decision maker, in the sense that will also lower the barrier of the adoption of the software.
Yes, of course. But what I'm asking you, Liv, is not that. What I'm asking you is, are you happy with this vision? And does it give you the sense that it's achievable? If we switch to
yes,
the focus
it,
on...
It's absolutely achievable. I don't know if I don't know if we can achieve so easily to praise a kind of help, but we can definitely we can improve a lot the help system. Okay. Maybe
yeah,
praise.
I think that needs some technical finesse. That whole thing, the prezi thing, needs some. Yeah. Making help better, I think, was the
But the evolution of the technology and the markup is something that can be very well addressed within the current situation.
And keep in mind, Michael. Carry on.
Yeah. Okay. As a data point, IBM recently did this kind of things on their documentation. They used to have book-oriented documentation with a web front end to get into it. And now it's all about Google-like documentation where you have to type the keyword you want and give you a page, and then it's almost impossible to navigate out of it to see the bigger context. So, I mean, all that Google-oriented search thing is fine when you know exactly what you're looking for, but when you want to get an entry point to learn a topic, in other words, it went way backward in the documentation because now it's much, much less usable to learn things. Just as a data point.
So I think the proposal then is to take the existing documentation and use this as sort of overviews of topics so that you have that richer...
I heard that. I'm just giving that data point as the it's great when it's all contextual and search-based and ask.com-based. And great, and I use it a lot, but... That's only when I want a specific answer to a specific question, not when I want to educate myself on a broader topic.
Right. And, you know, that's exactly why... So, to come back to Michael, I'm not proposing that we go and embrace Prezi as is. All I'm saying is that the help concept I think we need is this zoomable help concept. How we... That's very lovely.
No.
I don't really care how we implement it, but I do think that what Norbert just said is right. I think it needs to be zoomable. It doesn't need to be that I press the help button and I get help just about the element where I pressed help. I need to be able to zoom out and see help about all the functions that do that thing, and zoom out again and see help about everything that's on this page, and zoom out again and see help that's all about this application. And
so you want hierarchy, Simon, and you want a clear context inside it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So I ideally, I'd like all that stuff to translate automatically into a wall chart or a cheat card or something that every user could print out if they wanted to. So they've got the menu hierarchy on the wall, or they've got the cheat sheet about bullets on the desk. That would be ideal for me. Because of the way that I work. I want to be able to look up there and see, oh yes, I have to press this keystroke to get the bullet to do this thing.
No. I mean, Microsoft Developer Network has a tree view in the left, and whatever you read, you're in somewhere anchored into that tree.
Absolutely.
Sort of works.
Cool sort of idea. But so when I'm referring to Prezi, I'm referring to their zoomable content rather than to necessarily using their technology, although I do think that the third-party free software library that does zoomable presentations...
So the zoomable context bit is what I've captured that as, Simon. I think you're more seduced by a...
I'm weak-minded, Michael, as you know.
No. I mean, it's nice bullying. I don't disagree with it. It's fun. But it adds to the structure and hierarchy if you want to utilize it.
Yeah, the world is not two-dimensional, and feature set is not two-dimensional either. So,
yeah. How you arrange it in 2D is quite interesting. But hierarchies seem to work to some degree. Anyway, so we decide something then as a board. So why didn't we decide to get Kendi and Olivia and someone else to turn this into a technical, actionable something or other that we can actually do? And then put it out for tender. How about that?
Wait. I'd like to have a number.
is there an alternative?
Number, I want to have an idea of how much we're talking about because, you know, it has to be.
Yeah. So, as in, we should. So it may be that there isn't a number and we have to do it as a community project, but we have Olivia's time, obviously, that we're paying for.
I'm saying that before going to specific detailed specification and to be able to do a tender, I'd like to have a rough idea of how much we're talking about. I mean, that doesn't have to be precise. It has to be a magnitude order, but just to settle, you know, we're talking about a budget here that is a fixed size, so I want to see, you know, are we going to do it just that?
I think that coming up with an actual number here is a bit kind of twofold, because Because, like, on one hand, like, there are several low-hanging fruits here, I think. On the other hand, there's lots of stuff, that we can improve and go further and further. So that, like, it goes into something very expensive. So,
well, okay, let me put, professional refresh by a professional writer of the documentation every 18 months.
Well, I thought we killed that, though, Norbert. I really don't want to do that. I think that's going to be wasteful. That would be my proposal.
Because that one should have been roughly guessed estimatable, I suppose, by people who have been doing that in the past. So.
Yeah, but I think like it will be useful if first we try to come up with some technical bits here, just to know like if the direction of the technical approach is something we would like to follow, and that's we would think that is doable in some way, and then as the second step try to get some price for that.
And
so what I've got here is an action.
I want to say to Simon that I completely agree with one of the things he said during point number two, which is we should put our effort to improve the accessibility in a sense that making it easier for people to contribute. Anything in that direction, I certainly completely agree with that.
Okay.
So let me quickly add something else before I step on the bike, and I really don't want to unmute. It would be lovely, additionally, some rough idea on the download numbers, like the relative desirability or the relative popularity of the various help items that we have, which is the PDF manual, the AskBot access log, and the online help content, just to get some rough idea.
I can certainly give you numbers for the online help content, because that
it would be really useful, wouldn't it? It would be nice to see what people are actually reading in it. That would be fantastic. You know, what kind of pages do they read?
About the AskBot, we have about 60,000 questions in English. We have 1,200 questions in Portuguese. And all the others are in a lower number of questions per language.
But hit rate and volume of traffic and interest is the interesting thing to balance against each other, I think. So how many people per day look at?
That's why I was linking the help content, the help menu with the ask bot, to make a direct link
sure.
to the user. That's why I expect to have an increase.
We discuss all this is then to come up with a rough technical plan along these lines with some ballpark numbers for tendering. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then we'll rediscuss it in two weeks, say, or
yeah,
make it a very rough plan, Candy.
Yes, I'd like to work hand in hand with Candy to have this figure because I'm not very skilled into evaluating manpower.
Oh yeah, I agree, but I think just coming up with a rough, actionable technical plan would be very helpful.
Okay, that's feasible. Yes.
Is that okay for you, Simon? Anyone else? Or should we move on to dashboards?
Yeah, that's fine.
My main concern here, Olivia, was to just make sure that you are happy and that we can give you a technical vision you can execute on or, a social community vision you can execute on and do, and just be really pleased with what you're doing there.
Yeah. One last word about this is that we, as long as we provide to the community things to contribute, this is of our benefit, People get involved into contributing and giving them things to do. It's important.
Definitely. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Simon.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I need to leave now, so I apologize if
that's
I'm
fine. Thank you, Olivia. Good to see
you. Bye-bye, guys. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
So, dashboard, Florian. Unless there's more on that, dashboard, Florian, says?
Yes. Do we have Björn on the call? I don't think we have him, huh? Because then we can skip it. It's basically to raise Björn's attention, but then I try to chase him on the phone or via email.
So what is the story anyway? What is the story with the dashboard? paid, it's done, it's looking beautiful, or what's the...
It's paid already for quite a while. They have rolled out, I think last week or the week before, a new revision and put online the documentation. The VM, unfortunately, at the moment is stalled because we ran out of disk space. Clough is working on that. And there's one pending question by Thorsten, how to set the or configure the affiliation of the Git commits, and just wanted to hear because it's Björn's or the proposal was the dashboard was Björn's proposal. Wanted to hear if there's anything else from his side, and didn't get any feedback whatsoever. But then I trace him via phone. So basically, it's done.
Git commits, I'd really prefer to use the Git beyond config if you can.
Yep.
Because we maintain that, and it's not as easy as you might imagine. People switch affiliation weekly, you know?
Okay. Okay, thanks for that. That makes sense, indeed.
They also need deduplicating. So if some people use multiple different email addresses, or they're all the same person.
Yep.
And we have a big database there just to...
Yeah, okay, that's a helpful hint, indeed. Indeed, I will raise that. Let me...
Okay, switch to private then.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, Nick. We'll see you guys in the public call.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.